Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Good morning, angels. Good morning, Charlie.
What's going on? What's happening?
I thought we could do an episode of Charlie's Angels today instead of the podcast. I thought it could be fun. Maybe switch gears a little bit.
We could talk to legal about it, but today's actually a big interview, so we should just stick to the script today, okay?
Oh, okay. Yes, today is a big day. Our topic is feminism, and we will have Gloria Steinem on the phone today. Gloria Steinem, you have seen her picture. She wears a nice pair of aviator glasses, a cashmere turtleneck, and a tiny little cowboy hat perched on the top of her head. I think she got it from a doll.
No, one of those things is not true. But yes, we're talking to Gloria Steinem today. She's calling in. I'm excited and I'm a little bit nervous.
Nervous? Okay. Wait, why are you nervous? Are you afraid your speech impediment might act up?
I don't have a speech impediment.
No, it's that thing, you know, where your voice gets really high and annoying.
That's, I think that's just my voice.
Oh, sorry. Well, the good news is at least you're not on the radio. You're just on a podcast. Maybe you can just, try a different voice, one that's easier to listen to.
Back to our guest today.
Your voice is as if a small little singing bird had an evil crow as a sister. Okay. One that crows and crows until little children scream and run into their homes.
Okay, let's move on. Back to our guest today.
Right. Carolina is nervous about talking to Gloria Steinem. I'm not, but Carolina is.
I'm actually more nervous about you talking to Gloria Steinem.
But why? Really? Because my voice isn't annoying. It's smooth like a Coltrane solo. Your voice is like if someone handed a bunch of 8-year-olds some clarinets and told them to blow as hard as they can.
You see, this is why I'm nervous about you talking to Gloria Steinem. I just can't stress what an important figure she is to the feminist movement, and you can just be...
I can be what? Oh, I can be Bosley from Charlie's Angels.
Okay, we'll talk to legal, but we can't play Charlie's Angels this episode.
Fuck!
Anyway, Gloria Steinem is a woman who has worked her whole life for the feminist movement, and you can be a little misogynistic.
How dare you? How dare you call me that? That word. That... What does that word mean in English? It's French, oui?
Ron, misogyny is when you act prejudiced against women.
I know what that word means.
Well, you're writing it down on your notepad with a question mark next to it, and you spelled it wrong.
Oh, and I bet that is misogynistic?
No, it's not. Listen, sometimes you just treat women differently.
How so? Well, please, I'm interested.
After our first season wrapped, you gave all the guys cigars.
Right.
And all the girls tutus and ballerina slippers.
Yes, and I got size 11 for you. Big feet, Carolina. You're welcome. By the way, how are those ballet classes coming? Better than that African drumming class you took at the Y, huh?
I think women just want you to recognize that they're equal to men and that our interests aren't necessarily whatever the patriarchy has deemed feminine.
Yes, right.
Is that patriarchy you're writing down?
No, I'm writing something else. I'm writing St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
Remember when St. Don't forget St. Patrick's Day this year. That's what I'm writing. So you saw the P.
Okay.
Of Patrick, the saint.
Okay.
Who drove all the snakes out of Ireland.
Let's just try and keep an open mind today.
Carolina, you're so nervous to talk to Gloria Steinem.
I am.
Well, I'm not. That's the headline here.
Okay.
I'm going to go in and we're going to go toe-to-toe.
Okay, she's very well-read.
Well, but has she tangled with Ron Burgundy?
No.
The journalist? I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see what happens.
You know, you're not talking to some piece of wallpaper here.
No, you're a formidable figure
So
yourself.
I'm gonna get in there and I'm going to give as much as I get.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Once we come back from commercial, oh yes, Gloria Steinem, watch out!
All right.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. This is Ron Burgundy on the Ron Burgundy Podcast. And as promised, we are joined by feminist icon, Gloria Steinem. Gloria, I just have to ask you this coming out of the gate. What's up, my lady?
It's an honor.
Let me look at my notes here. Your name is Gloria. You went to Smith College, I believe. And, that's located in New Mexico?
Close. Massachusetts.
Well, not close at all, sorry. Smith College, I want to ask you, in today's world of AI and robots replacing all of us, is there any value anymore in a liberal arts education?
It's valuable just to sit in the same room with other people, because it turns out that we can't empathize or really learn on a screen or without all five senses. So whatever the experience is, we need to spend at least as much time with each other as we do looking at a screen or listening, with all due respect to this listening.
We're trending towards avoiding human contact, but we have to somehow maintain that.
You know, there's a reason why solitary confinement is torture. Mm. We are communal animals. We have to be together. All kinds of bad things have mounted since we've been looking at screens. Depression, sadness, suicide. We need to spend at least as much time with other people as we do with objects.
Do you hear that, Carolina? So you need to stay off your...
Put it down.
Yeah, put down your iPhone.
No more screen time.
Exactly. No more screen time. Let's make eye contact, okay?
Okay.
For future, yes. Well, I totally agree with you, Gloria. I mean, luckily for me, I don't even have any sort of cellular device. I still have a hard line and a rotary dial phone, so I'm contributing positively, I think. Gloria?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So after college, you spent a couple years in India. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
And what was that like the craziest spring break ever? Is that what
it
you were
was,
doing there?
It was the longest and the craziest. But it turned out to change my life in all kinds of positive ways. Although, to be honest, I was escaping getting married. I was engaged and
okay.
needed to go very far away.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But,
so you
but
went all the way to
I'm
India.
Glad I chose India.
And you talk about taking the train in India and that being sort of a revolutionary experience, right?
Yes, because first of all, the train system is very good, and the third-class cars, especially the women's third-class cars, are like traveling dormitories or women's groups. The women, you know, looked after me. We got in endless difficult conversations, difficult mainly because I couldn't speak Hindi. And I spent a couple of days, you know, going down the coast in a train in that car.
Well, if you can take solace, I can't speak Hindi either.
Yeah,
so,
can I?
I would have been in the same boat.
Or train.
Yes. Gloria, you worked undercover as a Playboy bunny when you were a journalist. During that experience, did you run into any misogyny?
Well, probably not, because they were not smart enough to know what the word was. So.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It was just wall-to-wall exploitation. It was an assignment to write an article, an expose. I had invented a background of being a secretary and wanting a more interesting job because the advertisements for being a bunny said that this was a glamorous, wonderful job. Mm-hmm. But the bunny mother who interviewed me said, "Honey, if you can type, you don't want to work here." That should have been a warning.
That should have been a warning. Was that in Chicago?
No, here in New York.
Okay. And yet, I don't know if people even know what Playboy magazine is nowadays.
You know, I'm sorry to say that now here in Manhattan, a Playboy Club has just opened, even though it was given up as totally out of date, even by Hefner. So
right.
I'm not quite sure how the one here is able to call itself a Playboy Club.
Yeah.
But it's pretty crazy that they just opened it a few months ago.
Well, I had a subscription for as long as I can remember, and I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to you. I read it strictly for the articles.
You know, they had a formula even in the articles that in no way were women allowed to win. I mean, that was Hefner's formula. You know, whatever was printed or whatever was photographed, it had to be clear that men were dominant.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
You in his satin pajamas, huh?
Well, I do think he was kind of pathetic and insecure.
You know what? I once got in a fist fight with him at the Playboy Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Well, they lost my car. The valet lost my car. And so I had to spend 3 weeks at the Playboy Mansion. It was
the worst 3 weeks.
It was the worst 3 weeks of my life because of all the misogyny.
Yeah.
Gloria, you were part of the effort in conjunction with Ms. Foundation for Women to institute a Take Our Daughters to Work Day. Let me ask you this. Do you think gambling bookies should be taking their daughters to work or drug lords? You know, why did you start such a dangerous holiday?
Well, now that you say that, I think it might not be bad for kids to see the terrible things their parents are doing.
Sure.
Maybe they would help to reform their parents. We started it just because we wanted girls to feel at home in the workplace. And actually, there was no other day devoted to girls, mm-hmm. no national day devoted to girls at all. It turned out to be one of the few things that girls had that boys wanted. So now it's Take Your Child to Work Day, boys too.
You know, I had a son later in life, Walter Burgundy, and I should have brought him to work
mm-hmm.
more often.
But you left him in the car.
I left him in the car a lot, which is not the right thing to do. Gloria, you got in trouble with Bernie Sanders supporters during the 2016 presidential race because you said the boys are with Bernie. And with him running again, would you say the boys are back in town?
No, actually, I was talking about free tuition. I wasn't talking about sex, but the way, because I was on my track of talking about free tuition, and
yes.
therefore the boys were attracted to that, and the girls too. It ended up sounding like sex instead of an education.
So completely
it's
misconstrued.
Been no end of problem.
Now, this is something you may not be able to answer, and I totally respect it if you can't, but I was looking on Wikipedia, which we all know is controlled by the Russians. Were you involved in the CIA at one point? If you can't answer, you could just make the sound of a bird of prey.
It's so much more boring than that I hesitate to disappoint you, but
oh.
I went to two communist youth festivals
okay.
Several years apart, which was sponsored by the then Soviet Union.
And where would that have taken place?
There was one in Vienna and one in Helsinki, I think.
Oh, fancy. Okay.
So, the attendance at those festivals was sponsored by foundations that in turn were sponsored by a world federalist, a left-wing person who was in the CIA and therefore had escaped McCarthyism.
Ah.
So,
okay.
So it's kind of obscure. And
that doesn't sound boring at all. That sounds so
exciting.
No,
well, but the problem with it is that it makes it sound as if anyone was telling any of us what to do or say, which just wasn't true.
So no one gave you, like, a lipstick that was actually a pistol or something like that. You didn't get any spy devices or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. Oh. Nothing like that.
Well, then, yeah, that's really boring.
It is, yeah. No, it was interesting, but it just...
Yeah.
There are some initials, you know, that make everything sound subversive, and the CIA are three of them.
Well, it's funny, because I have also never been involved with the CIA. Wink, wink! Here's a wild card question for you, which I thought of on my drive over here. What are some TV shows that you like? This is a hard-hitting
one. Well, I'm a news junkie, so I confess that I'm almost always listening or looking at the news when I'm watching television.
Mm. Because I'm really into Roswell on the CW.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. You didn't finish an entire school year until you were 12. Much like myself. How do you think that affected your career?
Well, at the time, I kind of wanted to go to school like other kids, you know,
right.
Because I saw kids in movies. But looking back on it, I think it was a kind of good thing because I escaped a certain amount of brainwashing that I would have got in those years mm-hmm. with Dick and Jane books and what girls were supposed to do and boys were supposed to do. And instead of that, I could just follow my interests and read anything. I mean, I hope it would be better now because schools are better now. But in that era especially, I think probably it was better to be able to follow my interests.
Just so I'm following the math, that would have been sixth grade that you just took the year off?
I think I entered sixth grade. I didn't enter at the very beginning. So probably seventh grade was my first full year.
Because sixth grade, that's a toughie, isn't it? I repeated it three times, sixth grade. You wrote a book about Marilyn Monroe. Did you not?
Yes, I did, yeah.
What was your fascination with Marilyn Monroe? Was it just based on the fact that blondes have more fun?
You know, I think that a lot of us have a kind of rescue fantasy about Marilyn Monroe. Mm. If she had lived at a time when there was a women's movement, might she still be alive? I mean, she had such a tough life. She was a foster kid. She was sexually abused. She was, as an adult, treated for her outsides, not her insides, not her heart or her mind. And I've always been, and I think a lot of people are, a little haunted by the early end of her life and what might have been.
I wrote a book on Marilyn Manson, and...
There's a Marilyn, right?
Yes, and it's still sitting on the shelf at the manuscript. No one wants to publish it, so maybe you could help me publish my book on Marilyn Manson.
Well, it probably would be a good thing to see how we could avoid having more of them.
Great. Let's get to work on that. I'll get your home address when we get off the podcast, and I'll just show up at your house and we can start working on that. Gloria, you famously said the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. Did you know that Pharrell Williams, the singer, songwriter, producer, says that at the top of one of his latest songs, Lemon?
No, really?
Yes? Mm-hmm. Are you pissed? I don't mean to start a beef, but
no, I'm honored to be quoted. I mean, I said it and is a kind of smart-ass thing to say.
Sure,
but it does have a lot of applications.
The truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. What exactly does that mean? Do you think that we need to know how bad things are, and then we're happy, and then but then we get angry?
Well, I do. I mean, the truth will set you free comes from the Bible. So the idea of the truth was a religious truth. I started to add, but first it will piss you off, during the Vietnam War era.
Oh, okay.
Because there were some young men who were carrying signs saying, "The truth will set you free." They meant the truth of the war would set them free from the draft.
Wow. Okay.
And it kind of stuck with me from that time forward. And being a smartass myself, I just started to say, "But first it will piss you off." And now I see it in amazing places. I mean, it's on campus, on bulletin mm-hmm. boards. I saw it as a tattoo.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I've seen it on a birthday cake before.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen that. And I love quotes anyway, because mm-hmm. I think quotes are kind of populist poetry. And they're short enough to remember, but smart enough to be memorable.
Carolina gave me a wonderful book of quotations, a very heavy, sturdy book mm-hmm. That is I use as a paperweight.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good use for books.
And one of these days I'm going to crack it open and take a look.
Please do. I mean, that's why I got it for you.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure you've produced many great quotes.
Yes, I've been quoted a fair amount of times, and I find it to be very flattering. But I cannot set myself on the same bar as you. There's no question.
Well, it's just, it is kind of populist poetry to try to say things short. I think it also comes from being a magazine person and sitting around in editorial meetings trying to think of titles and blurbs and, you know, how to be intriguing in a small space.
One of my favorite quotes, and I believe it was Sophocles, mm-hmm. who said, and I hope I get this right, "If this van's a rockin', don't come a knockin'."
God, I hope Sophocles said that. I hope he had fun.
Oh, you know Sophocles. He did. He did have fun. Gloria, we cannot thank you enough for coming on the podcast today. We know you have an incredibly busy schedule, so thank you for taking time and talking about your life, and you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much, Gloria.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Everyone, Gloria Steinem will be right back on the Ron Burgundy podcast after this break.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back on the Ron Burgundy Podcast. Oh, Carolina, I don't know how you felt, but I
just need to drink some water.
I froze up like a I don't know, something that's really frozen.
You're freezing up about freezing up.
Yes.
I know, me
she
too.
She is formidable, and, you know, she had a lot of compelling things to say, important things.
Yeah.
And I don't know, feel like I dropped the ball a couple times.
No,
I know.
Feel like I dropped, I felt like a, just a, I mean, I just wanted, I just hope she liked us.
Yeah, that's the thing. I hope.
Does she like us?
Right.
Do you want me to ask?
Yeah, why don't you try to...
I'll reach her team.
Yeah, reach her team and see if she likes us. Because I don't know if I'll sleep tonight.
Me neither.
You know, just because... I don't know if I put my best foot forward. Look, I'll say this. I'm not perfect.
Mm-mm.
But I'm pretty damn good 84% of the time. And this was in that, you know, 13, 14% where...
We don't know.
Old Ronnie had his you-know-what flying in the wind. And you could tell. Where was all your Sarah Lawrence training? Didn't kick in.
I just went blank. I don't know what happened.
Well, as you can probably tell, I learned a lot this season. I even learned how to pronounce misogynoir. But it's time for me to go back to learning from my everyday life, learning from my long walks on a few of my neighbors' properties. Learning from the trees, talking to the birds, hearing their side of things.
What do you learn talking to the trees or birds?
You wouldn't understand a man of nature. I mean, by the pale color of your skin, I'd estimate you haven't been outside for a while.
Mm.
Come to think of it, do you ever leave this podcast booth? Do you live here? Wait, were you born here?
No, that's enough.
Where do you shower? In a sink? Like a baby? You don't have to answer that. Anyway, it's that time again. Today's episode was our last of season two. The season is over, and like the Berenstain Bears, it's time for us to go back into hibernation.
The Berenstain Bears? So you mean just like a bear?
Well, sure, any park ranger or you know, nature specialist will tell you there's many types of bears. There's the black bear, the brown bear, grizzly bear, polar bear, and the Berenstain Bears. And they're the ones who wear clothes and live in a treehouse.
Okay.
And you know, when you see a grizzly, you have to play dead, right?
Right.
Well, if you see a Berenstain Bear, you should strike up a conversation and try to be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
If they're really nasty, give them your watch. That's my last tip of the season. Bet you're glad you stay tuned to hear that jewel of advice. Anyway, we'd like to give a warm thank you to our listeners. A warm, warm thank you. We'd like to hug you, pat you on the head, and tell you it's all going to be all right.
Disregard all of the stuff about the Berenstain Bears, please. We just like to thank everyone for tuning in. That's it. That's all. The end.
And we'd like to invite you to our cabin for a cup of hot cider. Wrap you in a warm wool blanket. Ah, look outside. The snow is falling. The ice has frozen over the nearby pond. Oh, look, a fox. Until next time, when I have you in my house and we can really talk, man to man, this was the Ron Burgundy Podcast. Thank you for joining.
The truth will set you free. but first it'll piss you off.
Wait a minute.
The Ron Burgundy Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Funny or Die. I'm Ron Burgundy, the host, writer, and executive producer. Carolina Barlow is my co-host, writer, and producer. Our producers are Jack O'Brien, Nick Stumpf, Miles Gray, and Whitney Hodak. Our executive producer is Mike Farah. Our consulting producer is Andrew Steele. Our coordinating producer is Colin McDougall. Our associate producers are Anna Hosnier and Sophie Lichterman. Our writer is Jake Fogelmist. Our production coordinator is Hannah Jacobson. This episode was engineered, mixed, and edited by Nick Stumpf. Until next time, this is Ron Burgundy.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.